Welcome to the Chronic Podcast with host Ralph Malvro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of Hakeem Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No doubt.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his... I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malvro.
Welcome to the Chronic Podcast. I'm your host, Ralph Malvro, and as always, we're joined by my co-host, Andrew Juge. And we have a special guest tonight, 1997 Saints Hall of Fame inductee and current KOIN sports anchor in Portland, Oregon, Stan Brock is joining us. Thanks, Stan, for giving us some time. I know you're in the Northwest, so Seattle and Green Bay was a huge deal for you yesterday. What was your thought watching that game?
That was just a crazy game. I mean, just the Seahawks getting crushed, you know, in the first three quarters and almost through the fourth quarter, and finally coming back into play. And it's a little bit similar to the championship game, turn the ball over four times and still able to win. I don't know. I've never seen anything like that. You cannot turn the ball over and win in the National Football League. I didn't think you could, but obviously you can.
You know, Stan, I'm glad we were able to have you on, because a lot of the talk in this game was the Packers had fourth down and goal from the 1 yard line and another time at the half yard line. What did you think of the decision that Mike McCarthy made? And interesting, I want your take as an offensive lineman. How do you feel? Do you agree with the coach, or do you like, give us the ball and we're going to jam that son of a gun in there and we're going to score a touchdown right now?
Yeah, well, I think first let's start the conversation with that their coaching staff knows way more about their team and their strengths and weaknesses than we do. Let's start with that. But as an offensive lineman, you know, you want to have that opportunity to put that ball in the end zone. And really, 1 yard, you know, if you can't get a yard, then really you have no – you don't deserve to win. So, but speaking from an offensive lineman standpoint, yeah, I want that. I want that opportunity.
Hey, Stan, this is Andrew. You know, I obviously have a lot of memories from you, from your time with the Saints, and I'm curious if you could just speak quickly about kind of the direction of the NFL. I mean, obviously – Seattle is maybe a little bit of a throwback to how the Saints used to play when you were on the team, winning with defense and running the football and being very physical on the offensive line. I remember, you know, you and Joel Hilgenberg, of course, and, you know, just being physical and being able to run the football and establish yourself and keeping the game low scoring and close. You know, obviously the league has completely changed since then, and most of the teams are built more like the Packers, where you see big explosive plays, less defense, receivers making plays. And so curious about your opinion of how the league has kind of transformed.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's actually the guys that are playing are bigger and stronger and faster, but I don't know. I struggle with it sometimes in some of their techniques and the way that they do it. You know, they're just so big, the linemen can stand up. We should just call it belly blocking. You know, you just stand up and move through there, and you know, running backs are quick enough that all they have to do is get 3 or 4 yards and, you know, and go down. And then, you know, even Seattle, you can say what you want, but they're a big play offense. You know, they make big plays. They got that ball in overtime. They got the ball in the 13. And, you know, six plays later, they went 87 yards in six plays. And but they do have Marshawn Lynch. I do like the running game. There's enough real football that I still like it, but I can appreciate the athletic ability of these guys and how fast they are, and defensive backs are much better. And Andrew, you're spot on. You know, we had a great defense, and really the goal of the offense was just not to mess it up.
Stan, you know, that loss yesterday, people were joking on Twitter and different – you know, as a Saints fan, my wife asked me, what if the Saints lost like Green Bay did, what would you do? I said I'd move to a cabin in the woods for about 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, and you played in a Super Bowl with San Diego, so obviously losing a Super Bowl must have been just gut-wrenching. But are there losses with the Saints where not that they haunt you, but that you think back and it just – you get sort of a pit in your stomach, and you think, I can't believe we lost that game.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. But one, if you want to, it's a bit of a blow-up similar to the one that we saw yesterday by Green Bay, and no one moved out to a cabin, as far as I know. But we played Dallas, I think, on Monday night, and or maybe it was a Sunday night game. But I don't know. We were ahead huge, and everyone turned their TVs off and went to bed knowing that the Saints had won, and the Cowboys came back, and you know, they got a safety of Kenny Stabler in the end zone and ended that, up does that ring a bell to you guys?
That rings a bell for me.
Absolutely.
I watched all the games and then they had some rough games, and I want to say 83 where you guys missed the playoff by one game. You lost to the Jets on a Monday night where they ran a punt back late.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I was thinking.
Or the Rams. Maybe it was the Rams. We lost one to the Rams, too, with a late punt, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Stan, if you look back on your Saints career, and players today, they're very politically correct, but is there a player that you either hated to go against because he was a great player, or you just hated him because you didn't like him?
Yeah, you know, he's from down there, too, but hate is not the right word, but I didn't care for Neil Smith, and he played for the Kansas City Chiefs, and we had some good battles, and especially when I went to San Diego, we had some good battles, but he was one of those guys. You know, back then we had fun. There's a whole other world going on between those line between the offensive and defensive line, and there's a lot of talk going on. I'll tell you a good story is that the Atlanta Falcons are, you know, they're hated by all the New Orleans Saints and the teams and the people and everybody. But those were great rivalries. And defensive end Mike Gann is who I played against. And let's see how it worked out. Let's see, Atlanta beat Dallas, and that secured us going to the playoffs. And so I had our equipment manager, Dan Simmons, call their equipment manager. I wanted to know, you know, did Mike Gann, does he like fishing or hunting or what's he kind of like? So he does. He likes to fish. And so I sent him I went down to Puglia's and got him a really nice rod and reel combination and sent it to him. But in there I put a note, you know, thanks for helping us get to the playoffs. But if you ever tell anybody that I sent this to you, I'll deny it. And you know what? We became friends when I was coaching up at West Point. We recruited his son to come up there. And so and his son did come up there and play for us. But those were fun kind of rivalries. You know, you hated each other on the field, but once the game was over, it was over.
Well, Stan, I got to ask you a question. You know, I think if you talk to any modern Saints fan, and, you know, obviously since 2006, it's amazing. I mean, you can go to the four corners of the country and really even internationally, and the Saints have become a household brand because of the story after 2006 and, of course, winning the Super Bowl in 2009. And so now the Saints have fans everywhere, you know, obviously growing up. If anything, even in Louisiana, you'd see a lot of Cowboys and 49ers fans. So it's crazy to see how that's developed. But I'm curious, you know, obviously fans know Marcus Colston, and he's never been to a Pro Bowl. And he's been with the team now for going on. He came in 2006, so this would be his ninth season. And you know, everyone kind of identifies him as the best Saints player of all time. To never make a Pro Bowl, but you've actually been with the Saints for 12 seasons and
13.
Okay. And even arguably higher quality of performance than Marcus Colston, as good as he is. So explain to people, how did you not make a Pro Bowl?
I never cared about the Pro Bowl, quite honestly. Did not care about it. You know who votes for the Pro Bowl? Or your opponents. Back then, there was no fan voting. So defense voted for offense and offense voted for defense. So my goal was not to have any of those people on the other side like me. That was not my goal. My goal was to have my teammates like me. And I will tell you that I'm very proud of the fact that I was voted twice by my teammates to be the most valuable offensive player. And I was voted to be captain there for basically my whole career. After my second year, I think I was captain there. Those are the kind of things that meant something to me. My goal is not to be your buddy or your friend when we're out there playing that game. My goal is to beat you, to win. And so I would say the same thing to Marcus. Just don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Your teammates enjoy you. The people around there, they know how important you are to that team. And so Pro Bowl, they can have a Pro Bowl.
Let me just say, Stan, I mean, remembering you from the 80s and the early 90s, I think you know, for Saints fans that don't know or haven't seen you play, you know, the best tackles of all time in Saints history. I mean, it's really Willie Rofe and it's Stan Brock.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, Stan, it's interesting with linemen because, you know, a lot of times, you know, the wide receiver or quarterback, people will say, oh, that game you had where you were 30 or 35 and you threw for 350 and you had two touchdowns. But I never hear in interviews a guy say to a lineman, man, what game do you remember where you were like, I was fantastic? I know a line is a unit, but do you have any games where you're like, man, I was fantastic in that game?
No, never, because it's always we had some fantastic games. We did as offensive line, and I mean, one of them was I think we lost three linemen in a single game, and we went to play the 49ers. And we went out there, and then as a group, we beat them. And the whole offensive line was voted the Sports Illustrated Player of the Game or Player of the Week, whatever it was. So, you know, those are the that's why you don't hear linemen talk like that, because they never do anything by themselves. It's always us. We do it. You know, we're successful or we're not successful. So, no, never had a great game where I never did.
For linemen, Stan, when, you know, the Saints interior is starting to get old, and I know you were a tackle, but what are sort of, you know, I listened to Ross Tucker talk on a podcast one time, and he said, you know, he explained he had a back surgery, and he said, I just lost like 3 or 4% of my explosiveness off the line. And he said, since I was a fringe starter, barely a roster guy, he's like, that was it for me in the NFL. When were you a player where you said, man, 3 years ago, I'd have made that block or I'd have done that. What skills for – I'm always interested. What skills for linemen, the physical skills, what starts to go early if you're not injured, let's say?
Well, I don't know that it's skills that lead. You actually can do a lot more with a lot less effort as you get older and more experienced. Mm. What hurts or what usually runs you out is the fact that you can't prepare during the off season and get ready. There's not enough time. Or my thing was at the my 16th year, it was very difficult for me. The week in between games just wasn't quite enough time for me to get ready and be able to be back. And it took me really 45 minutes to get out of bed Monday mornings. And I think that's where you lose it. You just lose you don't have enough time to get your body ready to go again. But see, it was a different time. Remember now, man, it was a little different than, you know, practice is what was hard. Practices is what wore you out. Not the games. The games were easy and simple. It was practice. It was those 2 days of full pads, full rip, the whole deal, you know, and Wednesday and Thursday practices, those are what wore you out.
Well, Stan, I think, you know, just kind of expanding on that, you look at the Saints offensive line now, and obviously you've got Zach Strief, who was drafted with Colston in 2006. And then on the front line at the guard positions, you've got Ben Grubbs, who's 32, Jari Evans, who's been a superstar for a long time, but he was also in that draft class in 2006. And now Jonathan Goodwin is a free agent. He's 36 years old, and he may retire. He may not come back. So I'm curious, when we watch these players play, and you know, for fans, it's hard to really understand why are these guys, other than they're just getting older, why are they declining? But you sensed at times this year that Ben Grubbs and Jari Evans, who've both been Pro Bowlers, just weren't playing at quite the level that they had in years past. What kind of signs do you look for as a fan when you're trying to identify whether these guys are dominating? I mean, obviously you can look at obvious things like, does the quarterback have time? You know, is the running back getting to the second level? But I'm curious, from a pure technique standpoint, is there something that your discerning eye as a lineman you look at and say, that guy doesn't have it anymore?
No, I can't tell you. I can't say that there's a skill set, because so much of it is in your heart, you know, and it's when you break the huddle, you have a mindset that I'm going to win. I'm going to beat you. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that are very, very gifted that can only play a little while. And there's some guys that just want it really bad and refuse to let. The only job for a lineman is don't let that guy, your responsibility, don't let him touch the ball carrier, whether it's a quarterback or a running back. That's it. There's no, in the back when I played, I didn't think there was any rules. There was no Marcus of Queensbury rule in a street fight. You know, you just, my job was to keep you away from that football, and that's all. So the technique might fade, you know, or you might not be as fancy or as smooth as you once were, but you can get the job done.
You know, Stan, one of the things I do when I want to avoid work is I watch old Jim Mora clips of him yelling at the media. And I always wondered, was he as animated with his rants to inside the locker room? And do you have a good Jim Mora story that you could share with us before we let you go?
Yeah, I have some good Jim Mora stories. No, he wasn't. I'll tell you what he was. I really believe that he was fair, and he just asked you to do your job. And when he got upset, you know, you knew he was upset. But I will tell you that, you know, when Bum Phillips was there and when he left, I was disappointed, you know, that he got fired, because I was a big Bum Phillips fan. And Coach Mora came in, and Bum Phillips' dress code when we traveled was, if your mother saw you, she would be proud. That was his dress code. And so Coach Mora came in, and he implemented, you know, coat and tie. Well, I don't know, the age I was a kind of a smart ass, and so I went and got a Western bolo tie, and I had a sports coat that was, oh, I don't know, probably 10 years old and didn't fit me, so I carried it over my arm. And I wore boot jeans and cowboy boots, and my boot jeans were frayed at the heel, you know how they get. And I just, one time I was walking up the steps, and Coach Mora walked up behind me, and he didn't make a big deal out of it. He just said, "You're pushing it." I said, "What's that?" And he goes, "You're pushing it." And I knew I was pushing it. And, you know, so the next week, because he didn't make a big deal out of it, and I thought, I might as well, you know, try and fit in. And so I went and got a pair of slacks and a coat and tie, and I wore it, and I walked him by in the next time we traveled, and he was sitting in his seat, and he just reached up and grabbed my arm, and he just said, "Thank you." And I really appreciated that guy. From that point on, that guy, I would have done anything for him, because I believe that he knew people, that he knew how to motivate, he knew when to. Some of his rants and rages at the media, they were really so that we would see him, the players would see him. They were messages for us. So, no, I got nothing but great memories. He was good. You know, I wish we could have won. I think we had the best teams in the NFL during that time, especially defensively. And I wish we could have won. We worked awful hard during all of us were in our prime, too, while he was there. So, but we just never quite got it done.
Stan, thanks so much for joining us. Everybody, you can follow Stan at S Brock KOIN on Twitter. Stan, thanks again for joining us, Sky, and good luck.
Appreciate you guys having me on. You guys have fun.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Stan.
All right, bye.
All right, now we got the other two knuckleheads joining us. We got Kevin Held, and we got Dave. He'll be back. His dropped out, but I'm sure he'll be back shortly. Held that game yesterday. If it was the Saints game, I don't even. Green Bay is not getting over that ever.
Yeah, I was thinking this morning driving to work. Like, is that the worst playoff loss for Green Bay? And the only thing I can think of that's even close is the 4th and 26 game against the Eagles.
So, yeah, but that wasn't to go to a Super Bowl, and they weren't up 16-0. I mean, God.
They had so many opportunities at a kill shot, too.
I mean,
dude, Russell Wilson threw four interceptions.
Four? I mean, he should have had five.
I know.
And forget the interceptions. He was just top to bottom awful. Just awful.
I mean,
that's the thing that really makes you sick is that he just does not deserve to be in a Super Bowl playing like that.
I mean, Dave, people kind of compare – today I heard people comparing it to the Minnesota loss when they lost to the Saints in 09. But that Minnesota Saints game was back and forth, back and forth. And, yeah, Favre had the pick at the end, which if you're Minnesota, that's horrible. But there's like about five things that happened for Green Bay that went against them that if you change just one of them, Green Bay wins. Like –
I don't know, man. I feel like the Vikings, it was that way, too. I mean, Adrian Peterson fumbled, like, inside the Saints 10, like, five times.
Man, I forget about that.
Yeah, there were a lot of goddamn fumbles.
Yeah. And Dave dropped out again. You know.
I mean, I'll tell you this, guys. I just think, and I've remembered Peyton Manning say this. That, you know, hey, I'd rather lose in the regular season. I'd rather go 7-9, than to go through the pain of a season and get that close to a Super Bowl and blow it at the end. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I would pick the Saints season this year over what just happened to the Packers. Yeah. You know, I think if you look back to the Saints last year, you know, I was disappointed that they lost, but you kind of – going into Seattle, they had already gotten dump trucked on Monday night. You expected them to lose. So you could almost stomach that loss. I mean, for me, the 49ers game hurts so much worse than the Seahawks game. And I just think when you're that close to a Super Bowl and to lose a game like that, we've talked about this before, it just leaves scars for life.
That's a good question, though. Dave's back with us. Dave, would you rather not go to the playoffs at all or lose like Green Bay did yesterday?
I think I would rather not go to the playoffs.
I agree.
As silly as that may sound.
It's too much pain.
Because you're...
I mean, that's, you know...
I mean, you think...
I feel bad for the guy. You know, I have three medical students that I rent the apartment above me to, and one of them is from Wisconsin, and he's a big Packers fan. And, you know, I knew... You know, I saw him earlier in the week, and I told him good luck on Sunday because obviously I wanted the Packers to beat the Seahawks, and I knew that when the game was going on, that you know it would be kind of loud up there, and my house really, you know, you can hear even the slightest bit of noise from upstairs just because it's an old house, you know, and the Packers were winning, and there was lots of yelling and screaming, and you know, he would play a song. He played a song really loud on his stereo after they scored a touchdown. But at the end of that game, it was dead silence. I don't know what happened to him. I was worried he killed himself up there. I was thinking about calling the police.
Did you check on him the next day? Was there an odor coming from the apartment?
He emailed me today. So I do know he's alive, but, you know, I felt bad for him and I have a few other Packers fan friends and, That was definitely worse than the way the Saints lost to the 49ers. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Saints in that game built a giant hole and turned the ball over a ton, and you never felt like the Saints. I never for one second felt like the Saints had that football game anywhere near close to in hand. Green Bay intercepted that ball with 5 minutes to go, and I was like, well, that's it. That's the death blow.
Yeah, and we had the game on in two TVs, one in the kitchen and one in the living room, and we had family over and my in-laws over, and when they intercepted that ball, I was like, oh, that's it, the game, you know, 5 minutes, the game's over, they just need to get a few first downs, and you know, that's fine. Even if I was, and I even said, because my father-in-law was like, oh, you never know, and I was like, even if they give the ball back to the Seahawks and the Seahawks score, Green Bay's gonna get the ball back anyway, and they're not going to give up two touchdowns. But sure enough.
Dave, how easily you forget Saints-Lions this year.
No, I know, and that's what I was going to say, is that, you know, the Saints lost it felt very similar to two or three of the games that the Saints lost earlier this season. Obviously, the only difference, though, is that, you know, those were in week 5, week 6, week 7, week 8, whatever. They weren't in the NFC Championship game. But the Saints lost games in a very similar manner. And the Lions one in particular, you're right. Giving up that big play to let the Lions back in scoring position in the red zone, and then the Raphael Bush
Just stop, please.
You know, I mean, just like in this game, just like in the Packers game, the Packers-Seahawks game, in the Detroit Saints game, there were a lot of plays that you could point to that said, well, if they just didn't do this, or if they just didn't do this simple thing. And I mean, you know, you've got the failing to recover the onside kick, you know, or my thing was, and I said this from the very beginning, I said this when it happened, that the Packers, and you know, so I'm saying that because I'm not saying this as a revisionist. I'm not looking back and saying, oh, they should have done this now that I know what the end result of the game is. I said this at the time, the Packers should not have kicked at least one of those field goals after the turnover. They should have put their foot on the neck then, even though it was early. Even though they were getting all those turnovers, you had to know that this is the NFC Championship. The Seahawks are a good team. You had to know that the Seahawks were at some point at least going to put up a fight and come back, and you were gonna need those points later. And even then, I said, no. Maybe the first time, okay, you kick the field goal, but the second time, when you're that deep, you gotta go for the touchdown. Even if you don't get it, so what? They're already deep in your territory. Yeah. You get them to stop. They punt the ball. You have good field position. You know, even at the time, I knew that was a bad decision. I'm not saying that as I'm looking back.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, Dave. Because I remember so many times this year where Sean Payton rolled the dice and went for it, and it felt like they got stuffed every time. But you know, I just think when you're looking at that defense, the odds of you getting stuffed are pretty strong. And I just feel like if they would have gone for it, they wouldn't have gotten points. And so
you're talking to a guy, and I'm a guy who says, I think that no team should even punt the ball. I think they need to be like high school team in Arkansas or whatever.
Yeah, admittedly, I'm more of a Jim Moore philosophy, kick the field goal, take the point.
I'm all about prob and stats, and I say fuck it. If the statistics say always go for it on fourth down, fucking go for it on fourth down. Right. It's going to come out in the end. You're going to win. It's just like when you're gambling or doing something. You know, you may make a move at the blackjack table or the poker table that maybe doesn't feel right, maybe that goes against your instinct, but that's what the math says to do. You just got to do it, because in the end, if that just plays out over time, you're going to come out on top.
Well, I'll tell you who hasn't come out on top. Me and Kevin Held. Kevin, this is our nightmare scenario for a Super Bowl.
This is different.
Yep.
Has come to pass, my friend.
Nobody wants this.
So what do we do? Do we root for Truther Boy? Or do we root for Brady to be the greatest quarterback ever?
No, like Kevin said on Facebook, you root for the meteor to come and hit the earth and wipe them all out.
Right, but basically, yeah.
Bane.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hopefully Bruce Willis isn't on that meteor.
I'm going to destroy Arizona. Kevin, when was the last time you enjoyed a Super Bowl this little?
Last year, probably. I mean, seriously, I was watching the game in my living room, and within the first 10 minutes, I was already just kind of like, all right, I'm just going to like lay on my couch now. And I actually fell asleep at some point during the Super Bowl. I mean, I woke up like 5 minutes later, And I think the fucking Seahawks managed to score again. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, what am I even doing watching this? And so I spent like most of the rest of the first half going in and out of the game, going in and out, you know, getting food or, you know, doing shit online or whatever. And yeah, so that's probably the first Super Bowl, God, since maybe my fucking childhood, where I was not completely engrossed by what was going on. I mean, look, I remember watching the fucking Bucks and Raiders Super Bowl in three different locations, and I was like, oh my God, we got to speed to this next place because I don't want to miss any of this fucking game. Like, about the Bucks and the Raiders. And it was a blowout anyway. Yet, I had to be at each fucking, you know, place I had to go to. Okay, I got to go to my girl, you know, got to go to the girlfriend's house. Now we got to go to the bar. Now we got to go here. Now we got to go back to my girlfriend's house. But we got to get there before all the fucking good stuff happens because I don't want to miss any of this game.
No, Pete Carroll's winning again, isn't he, Andrew?
God, I hope not. I don't know. I feel like the Patriots have tapped into some magic, though. I feel like I don't know what it is, but they're fooling everyone.
Yeah, deflated and, balls.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm rooting for Belichick and Brady. I cannot believe I'm gonna have to do this.
I am.
But yeah, I just can't see Seattle win another Super Bowl. I just can't. Yeah. I can't handle it.
And that's the killer, because here's the thing, nothing there, even if that happens, even if I don't even want to say if the Patriots win, even if Seattle loses, we're going to be inundated with. Am I still on this call?
Yes.
We're going to be inundated. OK, yeah. Thank God. All right. We're still going to be inundated with your Bill Simmons's, you know,
God,
slurping the nads of Brady and Belichick. And then, conversely, thanks for that, conversely, we're going to be hearing, you know, like, I live in St. Louis, and all these shitheads in St. Louis can't stand the Patriots because, oh, boo-hoo, you know, they ruined Mike Martz and Kurt Warner, all that kind of stuff, blah, blah, blah.
I can respect that. I hate the 49ers.
So is the local – does the local crying almost make it worth it for you, Kevin?
Yeah, to a degree.
Because I'm not going to lie. You know, UVA is big here. And whenever they lose, you know, I get an extra little pep in my step from, you know, just the sadness that surrounds me.
There was actual Saints news before we get to Twitter questions and the Pelicans and our topic of the day.
Who did what to who?
No, they lost Super Scout. Ryan Pace hired John Lucas.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Mark Ingram to the Pro Bowl.
Oh, whoop-de-doo. Nine running backs ahead of him are like, I'm not going, and he's going to go. Congratulations. No.
No, I feel like that's a good notch in his belt, though, and going into free agency, maybe it helps. An agent to be able to say, my guy made the Pro Bowl. It absolutely helps.
How big of I feel like Ryan Pace, I was like, it was bad, but Andrew, you even admitted last week, I didn't think it was as big a deal as some making it out to be. But, Andrew, when you combine Pace and he took the scout that drafted five that identified the five draft picks from 2013, he took him to be the pro personnel director for the Bears. Losing both of those guys, I'm kind of worried now.
I mean, it's just going to depend on who they replace him with. I mean, if you look at Loomis and you look at Sean Payton and you look at some of the talent that they've brought in, Dennis Allen, the coach of the Bills who just left, whose name escapes me. What was that guy's name? The head coach of the Bills? Yeah. You know, Carmichael. There's been a lot of solid coaches. I mean, Greg Williams, say what you will. The guy is doing a fantastic job with the Rams now. So they've had some good coaches. They've had some good scouts. You just got to hope that they can replace them with guys that are equally talented or better. But, yeah, I'm worried.
All right, Dave, fun question, and I'll let everyone else answer too, but you can answer first. What is Mickey Loomis going to do first? Is he going to A, replace Ryan Pace, or B, fire Monty Williams?
I don't follow the Pelicans as much as maybe you guys do, so I can't really truly give an answer to that question that would have that would be based in fact, but I would say
I can do that.
But I would say probably they'll find a replacement for Ryan Pace. I think that's a pressing issue. That's something that needs to happen. They don't necessarily have to fire Monty Williams. So I thought the Pelicans were doing okay.
They were until they did the trifecta of suck and lost to the Knicks, the Sixers, all in a 7-day span.
I'm from New York, and all my friends at home are Knicks fans, and so they're always talking about how crappy the Knicks are on Facebook. And from the impression I get, the Knicks are like possibly the worst team ever in the
country. They had lost 16 in a row until today when they beat the Pelicans.
Wow.
Kevin, what's going to happen first?
Didn't the Sixers start the season like 0-23?
Yeah, I don't care that they had Anthony Davis on holiday. I don't care. Kevin, what's going to happen first? They're going to
fire Monty.
I like Monty.
Fire Monty.
I like him. He's a good guy.
He's not a good coach.
He's not a good coach. He's a great human being, but he's not a good coach.
I want them to fire Monty, but I don't know what you would get. My biggest fear is that they fire Monty and or Dell Demps, and then we get Joe Dumars and Avery Johnson running the ship. And I'm not sure that's an upgrade. So,
no.
I want them to fire Monty. I think it's one of those things where if they don't get a high-profile coach, a guy that in the Browns' best years on that team, then they're going to piss away any chance of retaining him.
Yeah.
This is their window to try to keep the best star in the NBA, the best rising star in the NBA. If they don't cultivate that relationship in a winning culture now, they're going to lose him just like they lost Chris Paul.
And dear Pelicans bloggers, I like you. You're analytical. You give me cap. You give me knowledge and all that kind of stuff. But for the love of fuck, could you get mad? Could you yell? Could you scream? Could you make jokes? Could you just not treat it like a math equation? I got mad today. It's okay to get mad. It's okay to vent, for God's sakes. Jesus.
Yeah,
I'm not bitter at all about
told that it's going to be okay when
it's
you
not going
to
be okay, Andrew. It sucks. God, this 2014-15 sports season just blows, hell. It just blows. All right. Now we come to the part of
At least Ingram made the Pro Bowl.
He did. Congratulations.
Yeah. Ingram making the Pro Bowl is like Homer Simpson getting to play on the softball team in the championship game, because all the other all the pro athletes either had their head swells, they were bailing out appliances in a fire. They got into a fist fight with Barney at Moe's. They got arrested, or they fell into a vortex.
Yeah, the funny thing with Ingram is the Dallas Cowboys. They told DeMarco Murray, "Yeah, we know you just rushed for 1,800 yards. How does 4 years, $17 million sound?" So I'm of the opinion that the Mark Ingram market is going to collapse, and he's not going to get more than $2 million a year. That's my prediction of fun. So,
okay,
as we try to get Dave back on.
Didn't he get 2 years, $5 million?
No, he got 1 year.
For how much?
For
five?
Four and something, four and change.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I could see. I think Ingram gets at least 2 years, $7 million.
Yeah, all right, we'll see. We'll debate that as we try to get Dave back. All right, me and Kevin were trying to figure out, like, fun, bullshit, non-football topics to talk about as we go to the dark times of no news and actual football to talk about. So this week's topic is worst date ever. Now, before we get to our stories, I asked people on Twitter, and holy shit, did I get some responses. So I'm just going to start out. This is from Oily Earl. Oily Earl. I don't know if it's true, but it's funny. I went on a date with a girl who was a lawyer. She worked with a group that got people off death row. They got a guy off. that killed my friend's little brother about 20 years ago. Didn't see her again. She felt really bad. That's a pretty bad date, Dave. What's the worst date you've ever been on? Dave, are you there?
We lost Dave again.
Dave, are you there? Nope. Dave is not there. I guess not. So, Kevin, tell your worst date story ever.
All right. So,
And don't go all recency bias here, Kevin.
Oh, no, God, no, I'm not going to do that, man. I was actually going to say up until a couple of years ago, the story had kind of a nice, sappy ending, but, you know, developments changed all that. So, anywho, my sister got married a while ago, like several years ago, and one of my good buddies, Lee, was at the time dating this very attractive young lady, and I said, hey, man, you want to come to my sister's wedding? He said, fine, can I bring my date, or can I bring my girlfriend? I was like, yeah, sure. Can she bring me a date? She says, fine. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to see pictures. You know, I'm going to get like options here. No, that didn't happen. And he said, yeah, she's got somebody. We'll show up at the church during the wedding ceremony, and then we'll all hang out at the reception and afterwards. It's like, okay, fine. What does she look like? What does she look like? And my buddy insisted that she was perfectly okay, that she was, you know, that she was cute, that he'd seen pictures of her himself, and he essentially vouched for her. Like, all right, good. I'm standing in the wedding, not like groomsman, but I'm doing something else. Can't remember what the fuck it was.
Are you an usher?
Yeah, probably something like that. So I go up to get communion at the wedding. I loop around after getting communion. I see my buddy. I see his girlfriend sitting next to him. And then sitting next to her is the gal that's supposed to be my date. And holy shit. Look, I by no means am, and especially was, a prize at that time. But,
was it a dude?
imagine somebody allergic to bees and somebody pulled a Wicker Man on them and then said, okay, wait about 20 minutes till you're all swollen up and then let's cram you in a dress and have you sit in a pew in church. And then reception, no, not attractive in the slightest. So the reception was a disaster. My buddy was like, all right, well, we're going to hang, you know, like I had agreed to hang out afterwards that night. My buddy apologized to me for weeks, months, years on end. And finally,
not long enough.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, he ended up actually introducing me to the woman that would be my ex-wife.
This sounds like somebody you should not be friends with anymore.
No. Jesus.
Were you presenting that little bit about meeting your ex-wife as evidence that this guy is a good guy? Because I think that you're doing the other side a favor by mentioning
I'm doing it wrong. I know.
Yeah. All right. I mean, that's not – she's ugly. I mean, that's not a bad – I mean, it wasn't like you rolled over a cat or something or killed her dog.
Allergic to bees.
Yeah. This sports Cajun said, how about my junior homecoming where my date decided afterwards that she'd rather date women?
Eh. Oh, I got another one. Right. Oh, yeah. And Andrew's got to go because I got another one here.
All right. I'll go. To try to lighten this thing up. I went on a date with this girl.
What do you mean lighten it up? Has this been a somber conversation?
No, it's not. But it's a better story than Kevin's. So I go on this date with this girl from Match. She's attractive. And the date
when was
is...
This? How old were you?
I don't know. It was like,
can we get a little context here?
Like I was like 20... I don't know. 26, 27 maybe.
Okay.
So I go on this date, and she's nice looking. She's, you know, and it was a good date, and you know, it went really, really well. And at the end of the night, like, I'm, you know, bringing her to the door, and it's good times, and I, like, lean in, and we, like, do a little kissing. But her wrap-up move for the kiss.
Is your wife listening to this?
Yeah, she listens. She knows this story. Okay. So the wrap-up move after the kiss, she licked my face like a dog. And I'm not talking like, oh, a little lick. I'm talking full-on tongue in a circle clockwise around my face. Now, my wife is laughing. Here's the thing, though. You're probably thinking, oh, if a girl licked my face, I would be like, what the fuck are you doing licking my face? But you don't do that. You go into, like, shock, and you're like, did that just happen? Did she just lick my face counterclockwise? Yeah, she did. Then, I guess she thought I liked it because I was just standing there like a fucking deer in headlights. She did it again! And then said goodnight. I didn't even know what to do. I literally, I think I stayed at her door. It felt like I was there for 5 minutes after she shut the door, but it was probably only like 30 seconds. It's probably like one of those events where you get in a car crash or something, you see a traumatic thing. It feels like it lasts forever, but it only lasted 15 seconds. I don't even know, like, why a person would think that's okay. And I feel, the only thing I feel bad about is, I never emailed or called her again. I feel like I needed to do her a public service and be like, that is not cool.
Dave and Andrew, for some added context, prior to that incident, Ralph had full use of both sides of his body.
Yes. So it was just, you know, that gave me shock and cerebral palsy. Gave me a stroke. So I should be angry at her, but I'm just stunned that she thought it was cool to lick my face.
She probably did that a week later to the next guy, and he just absolutely loved it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, for every little weird picadillo and fetish, there's an internet forum that's into that kind of stuff.
Andrew, what's your worst date?
I mean, I don't really remember any, honestly.
My favorite tennis player was Yvonne Lindell.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever really had disasters, but I will tell you this story. I feel like I've got to be respectful to my wife here, too. I've got a couple kids, man. But yeah. But I will tell you this. My wife and I went to college together, and I actually dated her sorority sister in college. And so, I mean, we knew who each other was, and we were up in Virginia, but, you know, I was from New Orleans, she was from Baton Rouge, so we were both from Louisiana, and so we graduated, and I didn't talk to her after graduation for a couple years, and, you know, this was right around the time Facebook started, and so I was fortunate enough, by the way, to not be on Facebook during college, because I feel like that would have been a real problem for me with the parties and the pictures and all that. But anyway, so I get on Facebook, and then, you know, a couple years later she gets on, and, you know, you get like the alert, like friend of a friend, and I see her. And so I send her a message at like drunk off my ass at like 3 a.m, 4 a.m. And it's literally like subject line, you know, like idea, and then it's just like, hey, we should hang out. Like the most pathetic, you know, just idiot, clearly drunk. And the thing is, I didn't remember sending it. And obviously she wasn't heavy into Facebook. So like a week later, she writes me back and she's like, what the hell is this? Do you even remember sending this? And when I saw her response, I did not remember sending that note. So I read that back, and it was just like, oh my God, I can't believe I did this.
Whoopsie.
But anyway, the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Dave, your worst date.
So my moral of the story, my advice to everyone is
don't drunk Facebook.
If you don't have a significant other, just get blackout drunk go on Facebook, message someone, and it'll work out perfect. 9 years later, you'll have two kids.
There you go. Yeah. So, Dave, your worst date?
Everyone since before I met my wife. Everyone was
Is she
bad.
In the room with you, Dave?
Maybe. No. No. I'm kidding. She told
Is
me.
Is her finger on the switch?
She's like...
I'm kind of like Andrew. I mean, I never really had like a bad date, you know, nothing wild
you
or crazy. But I'll say I feel like this happens to a lot of people. But there was one time that I was hooking up with a girl for the first time, and it would be the only time. I was about 20, I would say maybe 19, 20. We were in my parents' basement in New York, you know, because I would have to like go home over the holiday. It was probably over like the holidays. And, you know, things were kind of getting pretty hot and heavy. And then, of course, she says, oh, wait a minute. And then, of course, she then proceeds to throw up.
Nice!
And that was the end of
On you?
Hooking up. No,
What's
no.
What's worse, no. Having a girl throw up on the date or lick your face?
Throw up.
I don't know. Probably. You know, I kind of like that. Then you feel bad for the girl, you know, because she's embarrassed. And I don't know. But I feel like that happens to a lot of people. I feel like a lot of people have throwing up while hooking up stories.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff in college. Let's see. Yeah. We have any other bad date stories? No. Well, I was looking on Twitter. Chris, no, we don't have any more.
I do have a quick question for Kevin. I'm curious, like with Tinder, if there you ever or any of these sites, like, do you ever meet someone and is a girl ever just like, yeah, this ain't happening? Like 3 minutes in, and they just leave.
No. With Kevin, no. Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, no. Surprisingly, not. Like, I actually kind of thought that at some point it would have happened because, you know, it's the 21st century. It's a online forum. And if people want to get in and get out, you know, hey, more power.
Get
tools,
in so and get out.
Time. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, hey, if you're there for 5 minutes and if you are completely turned off by me and you don't want to hang out anymore, just be like, yeah, I'm going to bail.
Well, all right. It has to happen if people are like fraudulent about their pictures.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I could totally see a girl seeing Kevin and saying, wait a minute, I was promised a mohawk.
Like, it's a couple of times it's happened where I've gone out on the date, had the full date, and messaged them, like, the next day or 2 days afterwards, and they're just – and they message me back, and they're pretty straightforward. Like, yeah, I wasn't really feeling – you know, like a connection or whatever. So I'm just going to move on. And I message him back and I'm like, all right, thanks for being, being honest or thanks for being straight. So take care.
You don't do that. You're like John Cusack and you have, go to their house and you have the radio in the air.
Old guy reference. No, it's, but like
Peter Gabriel in your eyes.
It's weird because all right, we
the light, the heat.
No, so I mean, like Kevin, like if you wanted to, could you Tinder every day of the week?
Well, I mean, technically I do because I open the app and I'm just like swiping one way or the other on different people. I mean, whether or not somebody, like the only way Tinder works is if I swipe and say yes, I would date this person or something else, and if that person saw my profile and swiped and said yes, only then would we both know about it, and only then could we message each other. So basically, you're just sort of like fishing to find somebody that matches with you.
Trolling for bitches? Is that really what you're doing? I mean... it's like, yeah, it's just like you cut out all the email back and forth, let me buy you a $20 meal. You're just cutting all that out.
Well, no, you have to buy them the $20 meal after you like them, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can, like, like I'm, you know, I'm still at some point supposed to go meet up with a lady to go get beverages at some point this week. So I don't know when. I'm not sure when that's going to happen, but yeah, I mean, that's beverages will be consumed. She'll talk to me about whatever. I'll let her know what I'm into, and if she's not turned off by the fact that I wrestle in my spare time and I and I do a fucking podcast about the Saints, even in the off season.
I wouldn't call this a Saints podcast today.
Right. Then
we have a fine guest.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
All right, well, yeah. That's pretty much it. I mean, we got a week
no
off.
Twitter? No Twitter? No Twitter questions?
Well, not really.
No, they were all about, I mean, about your dating.
Atlanta ever hire a coach? They're going to hire Dan Quinn tomorrow. They already hired fucking Kyle Shanahan as their offensive coordinator. Quickly, is there anybody that we should care about at the Senior Bowl that we should really pay attention to?
Hell if I know.
Crickets.
Huge. Come on, man.
Well, I don't know if he's a senior, but I think he's a senior. But Vic Beasley of Clemson, Mel Kiper Jr. just had his first mock draft, and he had Beasley going to the Saints. They're 13th, right? 13th pick.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
Until they trade back.
Right. So they had Beasley. Kiper had Beasley going to the Saints, and. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I kind of like that pick. I would have maybe play outside linebacker. Then he's maybe a little bit like too much like Junior Gallette, except he's got more versatility. Junior Gallette's going to be suspended, and I don't mean off the field. I mean with his talents on the field, Kevin.
I know.
But if Gallette's going to be suspended, then we need a pass rusher.
No, but that's code for tweener.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
None of this tweener shit.
Well, I would say Junior Gallette's Junior Gallette is less of a fit as a outside backer than this guy would be. Yeah. So, and if Gallette's going to be out, I mean, the Saints' pass rush was mediocre with Gallette getting 10 sacks. If he is suspended. The Saints need somebody, so I wouldn't hate that pick.
Here, another date. I had a girl's boyfriend show up at our date and fight me. Kevin, your turn. That's what. That's from.
Why
Saints
is he going on a date with a girl that has a boyfriend?
You don't know that shit. You don't know.
You're saying
I mean,
that
they...
this person didn't know that she had a boyfriend.
How would Kevin could do that tonight on Tinder? So he could meet some broad, and then her husband could come up, and Kevin would have to suplex him, show him what's what.
I actually, my first long term girlfriend actually was a lady that told me she was divorced,
not divorced.
But was still married, and her husband was. A shithead.
I'm divorced, but I'm not divorced.
But was she? Well, was she? She was separated.
Oh yeah. She was living. She was living else.
You
like they were living apart.
Separated.
But he was a shithead. And one night, we were driving home, and he like pulled up next to us, or behind her. So she speeds back to her place. We go inside, and he parks across the street. And just stayed there for the next hour. And
dude,
I just
you
said,
were like
this.
5 minutes away from being on Discovery ID, Kevin.
Right. And I called the police. The police showed up. They took him into custody, and they contacted her and told her, oh, yeah, we found a knife in his truck.
Oh, that's nice.
It's too bad Sean Orleans wasn't around back then to handle that situation like a man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
man, Kevin, you really hang out with the wrong people, man.
You do, man. Get off.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, she was an ex-stripper, so.
Get off the tin.
Get what you get. Man,
you could have mentioned that earlier.
Club, Kevin, come on, we've been through this. But I'm proud of you for dating Cinnamon.
Actually, her name. Oh, what the hell was her name?
Fuchsia.
No. It was a Beatles song. Sexy Sadie. Sadie.
Yeah, if you like this podcast, you're going to love the next 7 months. We are right for you. Because if you thought this week didn't have football, give us about 3 weeks, and then you'll see a podcast.
The Saints still need to hire some coaches, man.
Yeah, they do. I saw somebody.
I mean, they can't just wait like 2 months, right? I mean, they've got to do this.
No, that's got to get done this week. In fact, I should probably check Twitter right now. I'll check Triplett and see. They got to.
Yeah. By the way, your sources suck, Ralph.
They do. I have like my sources are dried up, man.
Yeah, just, I think mine are about to be dried up.
I used to have them, but they're all gone, man. A lot of the behind the scenes people for the Saints that I knew when I was covering them in like 2003, 2004, 2005, like some of them got other jobs in the NFL, and Sean Payton weeded them out, man. The people that leaked, he systematically went about cutting them out, you know. And we're old, Andrew.
We are not young.
As
evidenced by the fact that we interviewed Stan Brock and knew who he was.
People know who Stan Brock is.
That should have been the first question. So, who are you?
I guarantee you that at least, I'm going to say 75% of the people that listen to this podcast have no idea who Stan Brock is.
That's what Google is for. So let's wrap this atrocity up, huh? Shall we?
Double bag it.
Double bag it. Go to Canal Street Chronicles. Dave, what are you gonna have? Are you gonna have a Pro Bowl thread Sunday?
Yeah, probably.
He'll have. Andrew is counting down different Saints.
120 comments.
Andrew's counting down different things on Saints Nation.
Yeah.
He'll have right up when the Saints do finally hire a coach or a pro personnel director or whatever they're going to do. And as always, Kevin is on Tinder.
That never fails to make me laugh.
So,
oh, that's great.
For Kevin, for Dave, for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Until next week, be safe. And thanks, Stan Brock, for coming on.
Make sure you swipe Kevin on Tinder.